If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. This is page 790 in your pew Bible. Have you ever had so many problems or troubles going on in your life that it was like this constant pressure or constant weight? Have you ever had a problem that seemed so big at the time that you weren't sure what to do? You weren't sure if you're going to make it? Or have you ever been in a situation that was so tough that you didn't know if you could keep going? You didn't know if you could endure another day. Let's read what the Apostle Paul had to say here. He says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many." We're talking today about how to deal with life at times when we're under pressure. Let me read that first verse again. "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure." Have you ever had a time when you felt like you were under great pressure? Have you noticed how often that word is used today by all kinds of people in all kinds of situations? You hear, "I'm under so much pressure at home," or "I'm under too much pressure at work." Or maybe you hear it in a sports setting. You watch sports and talk about who's better under pressure. Is LeBron better under pressure? Can Andy Dalton perform under pressure? And, you know, what do you do when the game is on the line and every eye is on you? It's yours to win or lose. That's what sets great athletes apart. When the pressure's on, that's when they shine. In fact, I am so glad that I'm not a field goal kicker, because nobody remembers when you make the field goal, but everybody remembers when there is 3 seconds left, the game is on the line, the pressure's on, that's when they notice, you know, that pressure. But pressure is also what sets great moms apart. It's also what sets great dads apart. How do you handle family pressures? Are you good under pressure? In fact, how many of you say, you know, "I really excel under pressure"? Okay, about 3 of you. For all the rest of us, you would probably admit along with me that, yeah, sometimes I choke under pressure, right? And I feel pretty qualified to talk about pressure because my job in some ways is a pressure cooker. You see, I am evaluated every single week by hundreds of people on Sunday mornings when I stand up here for a half hour and try to speak for God. And, you know, if I have a bad week, then all of you know it immediately. You know, I'm betting that where you work, you know, you could probably have a bad week or two, and not a whole lot of people would know about it. Maybe only a couple, maybe just your boss, or maybe nobody would even know if you had a bad week. Not me. And then I've got the problem that, you know, some of you have been coming here for year after year. You've heard me preach 500 or 1,000 times, you know, and what in the world can I possibly say that you haven't already heard me say? You know, what story can I tell that I haven't already told a dozen times? That is pressure. When I start out the week and I'm going, oh God, what am I going to say that everybody hasn't already heard? And you know, what if they start falling asleep? You know, and you know, sometimes I wish that I was like an evangelist or a traveling speaker so that I could just, you know, get my best sermons and preach them over and over again, because it's always new people and they wouldn't know if I've told that story before. And, you know, then on top of that kind of pressure, I have the pressure of running the church and, you know, dealing with all the financial pressures, and there's never enough money, and you know, we can't fix all the problems with building. Which one should we put off till later? And you know, what are we going to do? And plus dealing with all the people problems and the crises and the needs. You know, every time I make a big decision in this church, I know that some people will like it, others will hate it. you know, and some people might leave the church over it. And truthfully, the pressure can wear me down and burn me out. And Paul tells us, we do not want you to be uninformed. We were under great pressure. I'm glad he tells us that, because sometimes we start to think that we're the only ones, that, you know, we are the only ones having a tough time, we're the only ones under pressure. You know, everybody else looks like they're doing fine. They're not under pressure. But Paul admits it. I'm glad he goes farther than that. He says that the pressure got so great for him that he didn't know if he could make it. You've probably heard the saying that if you're a leader, never let them see you sweat. Well, Paul doesn't just do that. He says, I'll go farther than that. I'll cut myself open and let you see me bleed. I am not afraid to let you know that I'm under pressure. And you and I are under pressure. Sometimes it's the small things that get to us. You know, the pressure of having to get dinner made every day. Pressure to produce another paycheck. Pressure to make another sale. Pressure to go along with your peers at school, even though it's something you know isn't right. Pressure in a dating relationship. Pressure to meet your kids' needs, even though you are already exhausted. Pressure to perform. Pressure to be perfect. Pressure comes from every direction. And so today, I want to give you three ways to handle pressure based on the Word of God. Three things that you can tell yourself or kind of preach to yourself when you're under pressure. And in fact, you might want to make some post-it notes, put it on your computer screen or your refrigerator, somewhere you can see it. So when you're under pressure, you can remember these three things. The first thing to tell yourself when you're under pressure is this: I've been here before. I've been here before. Now, if I apply that to myself, then on Friday or Saturday, and I've worked all week on a message, and then I look at it and I say, this stinks. This isn't going to help anybody. You know, everybody's heard this before. This is lousy. And believe me, I've thought that and said that before. And when that pressure comes, I can say this: I've been here before. Or when Greg comes to talk to me and the building's falling apart and there's, you know, not enough money to fix it, and the bills are piling up and we're only a few weeks away from not being able to pay any of them, and, you know, then I can say, I've been here before. Or when somebody is upset at me. Maybe something happened in the church, maybe it was my decision, or maybe just, you know, something else, but they didn't like it, and you know, so they're upset at me, I can say, I've been here before. In all these situations, I've been here before, and you know what? I'm still alive. I'm still standing here. You know, in every situation, God somehow came through and he made it okay, and I didn't even need years of psychotherapy to recover from it. You know, it was all right. God worked it out for good then. And based on God's track record, I think he could probably work it out again. You know, I think he'll probably meet my need this time too. It may not be in my timing. It may not be the way I planned for it to work out. But he's always worked it out before. I believe he'll do it again. In verse 10, Paul says, he has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. Paul says, I've been here before. I was in a situation that was so bad, I thought we might even die. But God delivered us then, and he'll deliver us again. Paul says, I've learned something about pressure. I've learned that what God has done before, he will do again. I can trust him. He rescued me before. He bailed me out before. He'll do it again. I can rely on him because I've been here before. You see, there's a funny thing that happens when we get under pressure. It always seems like it's something new. It always feels like it's something that we have never faced before. We forget about all the other stuff that we've already been through, and we forget about all the other times that God has already helped us out. Look at what Paul says. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. Now, the interesting thing is, he doesn't list what those troubles were. He says, I don't want you to be uninformed about it, but then he doesn't tell us what they were. And so some scholars have tried to guess at this. Some people think maybe it's the wild beast that he fought that he mentions in 1 Corinthians 15, or maybe the time in Acts 19 that Demetrius the silversmith tried to run him out of the city because he was preaching about Jesus, or maybe it was the time that they beat him with 39 lashes in front of the Jewish proconsul because of his preaching that was upsetting the religious system. You know, we don't know what it was, but we do know how it made him feel. He said, this thing happened in Asia, and we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. You've heard people say, God won't put anything more on you than you can bear. That is not true. That's a lie. Paul says, it was far beyond our ability to endure. God took me to my breaking point, and then beyond. He said, so that we despaired of life itself. Have you ever been that bad off? Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. The Greek word used there for despaired literally means the total unavailability of any exit from an oppressive circumstance. The total unavailability of an exit. No possible way out. That is pressure. And so Paul says, I got into something, there was no way out, to the point that we despaired. That's pressure. When you've been on 14 job interviews and nobody's calling, that's pressure. When your kids are failing at school, that's pressure. When you get a report from the doctor and you don't know how it's going to turn out, that's pressure. When Christmas is coming and your credit card is already maxed out and you don't have any presents yet, that's pressure. When you see the magazines at the checkout counter and they're all telling you how you need to lose 20 pounds of stubborn belly fat and it just makes you want to pick up the king-size Snicker bar instead of the regular size, you know, that's pressure. But Paul says, I realize something under pressure. I realized that when I came to the place where there was a total unavailability of any exit, and I realized that there was no way out, then I remembered that mine is a God who makes a way out where there is no way out. And I've been in situations like this before. I kind of let the pressure get to me. For a minute, I felt like I might not make it through. But then I remembered the last time I felt like I wouldn't make it through, and I realized that I made it through. I've been here before, and so I believe God will do it again. I believe He'll do it again. Think about David standing before Goliath. Think he felt any pressure? A teenager standing before this 9-foot warrior, his sword is bigger than you are, and you know that if you kill this giant, then your nation will live. If you lose to this giant, then many of your nation will die and the rest will be slaves. That's pressure. But David says something interesting to King Saul in 1 Samuel 17:33. Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are little more than a boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth." So Paul is saying, you can't handle this pressure. Maybe you have somebody in your life right now who's telling you, you can't handle this pressure. But listen to what David says. David said to Saul, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." David is saying, I've been here before, and the Lord is going to do it again. Now, what I love about this story is that David actually hadn't been in this situation before. Last time, it was a lion. Last time, it was a bear. This time, it's bigger than a lion and a bear put together. But David says, this may be a different situation, but I have still got the same God. And He's going to do it again. I've been here before. If you're going through a tough time right now, let me assure you that you have been there before. Oh, maybe it's not the same situation, but this is not the first time you've been in trouble. This is not the first time you've faced troubles. This is not the first time that the devil has pressed you. And if he didn't take you out before, then he's not going to be able to do it this time either. I've been here before. That's the first thing that you tell yourself when you're under pressure. Here's the second thing. And this one, I have to tell you, this one is a little bit humbling. So hear me out on this one. Number two, I'm not that important. I'm not that important, and you're not that important either. Welcome to the Vineyard, a feel-good church. Understand me here. The word "that" is critical here. I don't mean to say that you're not important, because you are. But not that important. In other words, the world would not stop turning if you didn't show up at work. Your paycheck might stop arriving, but the world would not stop turning. Verse 9, Paul says, "Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death." Whatever this was, Paul was really hurting. "But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." Sometimes you and I rely on ourselves, and we want to try and control everything around us and fix our problems and do it ourselves. Sometimes God will allow life to put so much pressure on us that you'll give him back what was his to begin with, and that you'll start relying on him and trusting him rather than yourself. You see, what we have to learn how to do is to carry the load that we've been assigned, but not try to carry the weight of responsibility that is not ours. And some of you have been trying to carry that weight of responsibility, and you do that because you think you're so important, and it's going to fall apart if it's not for you, and you know, if you don't do it, then nobody will, and you think you're so important, and so you try to carry it all. If you want to put in perspective how important you really are, just think for a second. What would happen if you took the most important thing that you do on a weekly basis? What would happen if you just didn't do it? Okay, so I'll apply this to myself. Okay, what would happen if next weekend came around and I couldn't preach? Well, let's see. Probably what would happen is that somebody else would get up here and preach. Okay, and what would happen if I couldn't do it for 2 weeks in a row? Well, then probably after the first week, another guy would get up here and preach that week. Or maybe if the first guy did a really good job, then he'd get up there again and he would preach. But, you know, and in fact, you know, earlier this month, I took a couple weeks off and I came back, and amazingly enough, the church was still here. Now, I used to worry about that. I'd have to be truthful. When I first planted this church, you know, I used to worry about going on vacation. I'd think, you know, what if something happens to the church and I'm not around and you know, they need me and I'm not there and what will happen? And one day, I still remember this, John Bertram said something to me. John Bertram was our first worship leader. He was a little older and wiser than me. And he said to me, "Ken, don't worry. When you come back, the church will still be here." He said, "We're not going to burn it down." And I still remember that because I had to admit, he was right. I was just not that necessary. I was not that important. The world would not stop spinning if I suddenly got off it. And again, don't get me wrong. I am valuable to God, and what I do is important. You are valuable to God, and what you do is important. But if I didn't do it, then somebody else could and would. The world does not revolve around me. I don't have to do this. You know, when the pressure's on, I need to remember, I choose to do it, I want to do it, but I don't have to do it. Some of you say, "Well, Ken, that's easy for you to say, but I've got to raise my kids." No, you don't. No, you don't. There's people all the time that decide not to raise their kids, and somebody else raises them for them. You know, you don't have to. You see, when the pressure's on, if you can remember that you don't have to, but you choose to, that brings freedom. And then you can face the pressure. I remember that I am not God. And if I didn't do it, somebody else would. And the world would not stop spinning. When you remember that, then you will have the freedom to face that pressure without feeling overwhelmed. I am not that important. In fact, Let's all say that out loud together. This will be good for us, you know, cathartic. All right, ready? I'm not that important. Doesn't that feel good? The world goes on without me. The sun will rise without me. The sun will set without me. The oceans will roll without me. The earth keeps spinning without me. In fact, 15 minutes after my funeral, you know what they're going to be asking? Where's the potato salad? Where's the chicken? It's the truth. It's hard for you and I to believe that God can somehow make it without us, but he can. He doesn't need my help. I'm not that important. I don't have to do it. And once I realize that, then I can. Then I can. So when the pressure is on, you tell yourself, I've been here before, and I'm not that important. I'm not God. It won't all fall apart without me. I can let go of all that pressure. One more thing this morning. Once you've established those first two things, that God is faithful, that he's delivered me before and he'll do it again, and once you've accepted that the entire universe does not exist for your gratification and will not immediately implode into a giant black hole if you suddenly fail, once you've realized those things and accepted that, then you're free to say the third thing, and that is, I'm better under pressure. I'm better under pressure. Now, that doesn't sound right to us. We spend our whole lives thinking about, you know, if I could get rid of this pressure, if I could get rid of all these problems, then things would be so much better. If I could just get rid of those financial problems, if I could just, you know, my family didn't have so much drama, you know, if I could just somehow get rid of that, if I didn't have all these problems, then I could be really effective. Things would be so much better. But what we don't realize is that pressure produces power. Pressure produces power. Those of you who like to work on car engines, you know that if the pistons don't have any pressure, there's no power, right? In a jet engine, the first stage of the jet engine is a compressor, right? Because if there's no pressure, there's no power. The same is true in your life. Without pressure in your life, you eventually grow weak. Pressure produces power. Romans 5:3 says, moreover, let us also be full of joy now, but let us exult and triumph in our troubles. Why in our troubles? Because I'm better under pressure. So when pressure comes, let us exult and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produces patient and unswerving endurance. Pressure produces power. For example, when you pray for patience, patience is produced by pressure. Some things, some good things, can only be produced by pressure. Think about Moses standing in front of Pharaoh. He says, let my people go. But Pharaoh says, no, 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 no. Time after time, he says, no. The people of Israel are treated worse every single time. Their situation was bad. Now it's horrible, and they're blaming it all on Moses. You know, and it's sort of like God said, I've got to put my people under so much pressure that when the power of God overcomes, it will produce a glory that no one will ever forget. Everyone will see that my people are better under pressure. Or how about Daniel in the lion's den? You know, we know that God has all power. He's the deliverer. Why didn't God deliver Daniel from the lion's den? Why did he have to actually get thrown into it? He could have done that. God could have done that. Why didn't he do that? Instead, he delivered Daniel in the lion's den. Maybe he was simply showing the whole Medo-Persian Empire that my people are better under pressure. You put my people in there with lions, and they're going to wake up in the morning refreshed and get a cup of coffee and go on with their day because my people are better under pressure. Or how about Joseph locked in prison for a crime he didn't commit? He was left there for years, even after others around him are released. But then he rises to prominence, first in the prison itself, and then as second in command of all Egypt, saving many lives, so that the Bible can say in Genesis 50:20, you meant it for evil, But God meant it for good. In other words, you tried to hurt me. You tried to enslave me. But God meant it for good, and he used it to produce his purpose on this earth. You put the pressure on, but God used it to produce his purpose. I'm better under pressure. We thank Jesus so much, who knelt down in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to do this. I don't want to be separated from my Father's love. I don't want the crown of thorns. I don't want to be whipped and crucified. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He was under great pressure. He prayed until his sweat was like drops of blood. He prayed while his friends were sleeping. He prayed for the ones persecuting him. The pressure was overwhelming. Do you know what the word Gethsemane means? It means oil press. You see, the only way to get the oil from the olives was to press the olive. And Jesus was under pressure in the garden of pressure. And if you're under pressure today, I want you to know that it's not about what's happening to you. It's about what God has put in you that he wants to release. But he releases it by putting you under pressure. Pressure produces power. God wants to release some things in you. And if you're under pressure right now, that's actually a good thing, because some good things can only be produced by pressure. The more you squeeze an olive, the more the oil comes out. You need some pressure in your life to bring out the good things that God has put in you. It'll make you pray better. It'll make you be more compassionate to people around you who are hurting. It'll make you trust God more. It'll knock a little arrogance off you. You're better under pressure. And then once you stand in front of Goliath and face that kind of pressure, and then God delivers you, you'll be able to say, look at this. This is where I'm best. This is where I excel. This is what I was made for. I was made for pressure. I was built for pressure. I'm better under pressure. Put me under pressure and watch me grow. Put me under pressure and watch me excel. I don't know what kind of pressure you're under this morning. I don't know how long you've been dealing with it. You know, some pressure comes directly from God. Some comes from the people around us. But it doesn't matter so much where the pressure comes from as it does what I'll do with it that will determine what it produces in my life. Paul says, the people who were beating me thought they were hurting me. But really, they were producing the purpose of God in my life. You see, the world can teach how to cope with pressure, but only God can teach you how to convert the pressure into something glorious. Some of you are under great pressure right now, and I know you want the situation to resolve, and I know you want it to be over, you want to feel better, you want the loneliness to go away, but God is doing things even in that pressure. He's producing things in your life. He's releasing things in your life. Some of you have probably used a pressure cooker before. A pressure cooker has a regulator on it. It makes the cooker keep the exact amount of pressure that it needs to make the food come out right. And you can put a roast into a pressure cooker that would have taken all day, and it's done in 40 minutes. Because the pressure from the cooker on the outside makes the steam do the work on the inside. You see, the pressure produces results way faster than if there was no pressure. And in your life, the pressure produces results way faster than if there was no pressure. Maybe you're in a pressure-filled situation at home or school or work, and I want you to know that what's happening around you is really about what God is doing in you. And you're better under pressure. So the next time the pressure is on and you're starting to feel it and life is squeezing you, I want you to remember these three things. Look at, you know, your post-it note or whatever you have, your outline. And first, you tell yourself, I've been here before. I've been here before. God has already taken me through situations like this before. He is not going to let me down now. Second, since Jesus is at the center of my life and Jesus is the ruler of the universe, I'm not that important. Whatever happens to me, God will use it because it's not about me. It never was about me. And 100 years from now, it won't be about me then either. So I am casting all my cares upon God. I am trusting God. I'm relying in Him. And now that I've got all of that pressure off of myself, guess what? I'm free to say the third thing. I'm better under pressure. I can say that in the face of adversity, in the face of affliction, in the face of criticism or problems or troubles or torments, I am better under pressure. So let the storms come, let the winds blow, let the waves roll, because I'm a follower of Christ. I am better under pressure. Let's stand for prayer. I'd like the worship band to come up for a closing song. And as they do, let's bow together. God, I want to thank you that you have a great plan for each of our lives. And that plan includes times of pressure that you'll use to bring out the good things that you want in our lives and to produce patience and endurance and faith and trust and reliance on you. God, would you help us to see your hand at work in our lives and recognize your faithfulness and provision even in the hard times? We want to say this morning that we trust you. We put our faith in you, and we believe you will bring us through any problem we face. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.